Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Well, tonight is debate night in the Democratic primary for mayor. It's Mayor Bill de Blasio against former New York City Councilman Sal Albanese. WNYC is a sponsor of the debate. I'll be one of the questioners, and we will air it live at 7 o'clock tonight on 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org. Not to tip off the candidates about what might be coming, but one very newsworthy development this week is the new disagreement between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo about how to get more money into the MTA. The governor is now promoting the idea of so-called congestion pricing for bringing cars into the Manhattan Business District. The mayor opposes that idea and prefers an income tax hike on the wealthiest 1% of New York City residents to beef up subway funding. Let's compare and contrast. I am joined now by Alex Matheson, director of Move New York, the campaign that has a version of congestion pricing. He's also president of the Blue Marble Project. And Will Bretterman, contributing politics writer for Cranes. Welcome to WNYC. Will, and I guess we're still getting Alex on the phone. Hi, Will. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Let me play a Cuomo clip. In the past, he's rejected congestion pricing, but suddenly in the past week or so, he's making a push for it. Here's the governor yesterday in Albany.
Mayor Bloomberg, who was visionary in this regard, was right in concept but couldn't get it passed. I'm working with the legislative leaders to see if we can come up with a plan that we can actually pass.
So, Will, do we know what shape the governor's plan might take, and why did he have a change of heart on this?
Quite frankly, we have no idea what the governor's proposing. To even say he's proposing anything is a little bit of a stretch. He's just sort of brought up the term congestion pricing a little bit. There's been some notions kicked around. The Bloomberg plan, of course, would basically designate everything in Manhattan below 60th Street as a congestion zone and then charge cars and trucks for entering it. The governor, in his New York Times interview where he sort of revived the idea, said that he would be looking at that proposal. It was also sort of mentioned that there was a pilot study going on that involved reducing tolls for delivery trucks to do evening deliveries. Possibly he might put something through that through like that and just call it congestion pricing and then do a victory lap. We don't really know, have really any clue what he's actually putting forward. In fact, there was some reporting recently by Zach Fink at Capitol Tonight that what was being put forward in the legislature didn't even bring up the idea of tolls on the East River bridges, which is sort of at the heart of the Move New York plan. We have no idea what he's really putting forward.
Now, I asked Mayor de Blasio when he joined us for a recent Ask the Mayor segment on this program what he thought about congestion pricing, and he was on the no side.
I've always felt there are challenges and problems with congestion pricing that no plan has sufficiently addressed, although I think some of the more recent iterations have been more promising. But I've been clear, so long as we have the current situation with the state Senate in Albany, it's just not going to happen.
Now, no plan has sufficiently addressed some of the challenges and problems for the mayor historically. Will, that has meant he, as a former city councilman who represented an outer borough, that he felt his constituents were going to be taxed, in effect, told unfairly.
Right. And the mayor has sort of historically been a little bit skeptical of most sort of traffic reform proposals that the Bloomberg administration put forward. Frankly, he's throwing out the GOP state Senate was certainly a factor because the power base of the current Republican leadership in the state Senate is based on Long Island, and these tolls would affect them as they're commuting in by car to the city. So, but really what stopped it in the water last time when Bloomberg put it forward was Sheldon Silver, and more particularly the delegations from Queens and Brooklyn in the assembly, which is, of course, a broadly Democratic group. In fact, there are some outer borough. My state Senator Marty Golden actually was a supporter of congestion pricing.
A Republican from Brooklyn.
Right. So, yes, is it have an enormous political hurdle? I think we have to look at this right now as being less about two competing plans and more about two competing politicians. De Blasio's up for re-election this year. Cuomo's up for re-election next year. De Blasio, you know, there is a mass constituency for a tax hike on the wealthy that does not exist for congestion pricing. Congestion pricing is popular with sort of people like you and me who are sort of wonky, and we follow these things. The average person, there's just not the sort of mass support as there is for a tax hike, especially among the Democratic base that both de Blasio and Cuomo have to appeal to.
Now, the mayor did say in that clip that he thinks some of the more recent iterations of congestion pricing have been more promising. And joining us also now is a proponent of one of those recent iterations that the mayor was probably referring to, Alex Matheson, director of the so-called Move New York campaign, which has a version of congestion pricing that he says would actually be fairer to people in the outer boroughs than the current system. Alex, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning to you.
You want to start by just giving our listeners who know a refresher and our listeners who don't know a little primer on the Move New York plan?
Sure, happy to. Basically, the idea is to reform our tolling system. Right now, we've got a tolling system that's very out of whack. We toll some drivers up to $17 or more to drive on uncongested bridges where they have few transit alternatives, and we charge $0 to drivers who are coming over into the Central Business District, the most congested part of the city, and also the most transit-rich part of the city. So the basic proposition is just to create more balance in that tolling system, lower those tolls in the outer parts of the city, that's the Verrazano, the Whitestone, Throgs Neck, Triborough, etc., by 40% or more, and then restore tolls on the East River bridges and add them along 60th Street, too, to create some balance so that everybody is contributing. Right now, you've got a system where, as I said, some people are paying nothing while everybody else who's traveling into the Central Business District, whether by subway, bus, express bus, Long Island Railroad, is paying anywhere from $2.75 to over $20 per each way to get into the same area. So we're just simply asking folks to pay their fair share. This is a radically different proposal than what Mayor Bloomberg proposed 10 years ago. And the way it's fair and the way we achieve equity, and that's why we're eager to sit down with the mayor, because I think he's perhaps a little vague on some of the details, is that, as we said, we lower those tolls on the outer parts of the New York City, the suburbs, which is good for suburban drivers as well. We invest for the first time $375 million a year back into those same roads and bridges, so those drivers are getting something back. That's why AAA has expressed support various times for this plan after being opposed to every other attempt to toll East River bridges over the last 40 years. We also make a real point of carving out a substantial amount of money, $4 billion under our plan, to invest specifically in filling transit gaps in places like South Brooklyn, Southeastern Queens, Staten Island, the Eastern Bronx, because there is a legitimate complaint out there that there are still too many places where it's hard to get an affordable, accessible subway or bus ride.
So, listeners, if we assume that everybody agrees more money needs to go to the MTA, and some of you maybe don't agree with that, but that's kind of the premise of the political debate right now between the mayor and the governor. Would you rather, listeners, increase the New York City income tax on the top 1% of earners, that's singles making $500,000 a year or more taxable income, or couples making $1 million a year or more taxable income? Or would you rather have this kind of congestion pricing system, East River Bridge tolls, plus the other changes, including some reductions in tolls that Alex Matheson from the Move New York campaign was just describing as a better way to get more money into the MTA? Or, people, would you rather have both or neither? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And any question you might have for Alex Matheson, director of Move New York, And Will Bretterman, a reporter covering all this for Cranes, 212-433-9692. In advance of the debate tonight, the mayor's opponent in the debate, the most prominent other candidate in the Democratic primary, is former city councilman Sal Albanese, who represented a district in Brooklyn, Bay Ridge, when he was in council. He lives on Staten Island now. Do either of you know Sal Albanese's position on congestion pricing? Alex, I gather he has said some nice things about Move New York.
Yeah, no, I think when he ran last time, that tells you how long we've been at this, he did express support and made favorable comments about it.
Will?
I know Sal. I've known Sal for a while. He would probably put forward, basically try to challenge de Blasio, I imagine, on this, on the merits of this plan. I think Sal positioned himself as sort of an outsider and somebody who's willing to say the things other people won't say. It's cost him a lot of friends and a lot of influence in his day, and he's run, numerous unsuccessful campaigns as a consequence of that that attitude. So, I think you could argue there's an objective value to him having that space to challenge de Blasio on the merits of this plan.
Though part of Sal Albanese's identity has always been as a staunch outer borough guy who gets the outer borough grassroots that the Manhattan elite don't get, and that would align with being against congestion pricing.
Perhaps. Sal's an interesting one. Again, he also, for example, I believe last time ran as an advocate of bike lanes, which are hugely, not necessarily hugely unpopular, but have never made much headway, for example, in Bay Ridge or other areas of the outer boroughs that he identifies with. We've seen now on Staten Island, for example, Diane Savino voted against congestion pricing last time around, the state senator from the North Shore of Staten Island. Now she's a supporter of the Move New York plan. Part of the swaps that are proposed that the Move New York plan proposes would probably lower the tolling burden on the Verrazano Bridge and would also presumably lower the burden upon Staten Island commuters. There is also a sort of an outer borough, or at least a Staten Island argument you can make for the Move New York plan.
Brian, if I could, I just want to push back on two ideas that I've heard. One is the mayor's contention that this thing has very little chance of being passed in the New York State Senate. I think it's very significant that the Move New York bill that was introduced in the Senate last year was introduced by a senior member of the Republican leadership in the Senate, Senator Andy Lanza from Staten Island, and Senator Diane Savino, who is a co-founder and a leader of the IDC. And these folks are very, very committed to
that breakaway Democratic caucus in the Senate.
Yes, exactly. So, like it or not, they're a powerful duo, and they can get legislation passed if they want. And plus, I've spent a lot of time in Albany over the last couple of years, and I've met with just about every Republican senator from Long Island and the Hudson Valley, and I've gotten a very positive response. A few have kind of come out and made a public endorsement. But I think we definitely have some support among Republican suburban legislators. And then the second thing I just want to push back a little bit on with Will is about the public support for this. We've actually, Transportation Alternatives just commissioned a rigorous poll just 6 or 7 months ago, January, that came out and said that New York City voters, 54% favor a toll swap like the Move New York plan over any of the other proposed revenue solutions that were proposed in the poll. And every one of the five boroughs of New York City came out with majority support, ranging, of course, from 51% to 62%. But nonetheless, they're really, and that's without any kind of media campaign or any kind of concerted paid media effort to try and engage people on the issue and inform them. So I think there's a lot more support for this idea than you would think.
I'm not going to dispute. I'd have to take. I've not seen that poll. I've not dug into the cross tabs on it. So I actually would be interested in looking at that. I'm not surprised that when you poll people, they are generally favorable to this. I think that there was back when Bloomberg was pushing this, there was a poll that showed about 5% of all people in New York City were commuting into Manhattan via car. So that is unsurprising. just because something is popular or polls well does not necessarily mean that it is going to be politically successful. I think that there's numerous initiatives that's been proven the case to be about. This is one of those issues that, for example, among Democrats sort of drives a wedge between your Manhattan Democrats and especially your Brooklyn and Queens, and now in the state Senate, you have two Democratic state senators on the South Shore of Nassau County. Those are sort of the most precarious Democratic seats. This creates a political problem. The Democrats, of course, are in the minority of the state Senate, but if this gets put forward, it's going to basically drive a wedge through the mainline Democratic caucus in all likelihood. Carl Hastie, the Assembly Speaker, has sort of made it clear he's going to, you know, of course, have hearings on this, but he's also indicated he's not going to whip votes for this. Alex is saying this has been pushed for a long time. Congestion pricing was part of William F. Buckley Jr.'s 1965 campaign for mayor. I mean,
wow.
This is an idea that's been around for, more than half a century.
Wait, a Republican icon pushing tolls?
He pushed tolls, and he actually was an advocate of bike lanes. That was a different era in New York City Republican politics.
I guess so. Let me just tell our listeners who are just joining in that we're talking about Mayor de Blasio's and Governor Cuomo's competing ideas for getting more money into the MTA. The governor has come out in recent days for so-called congestion pricing, charging drivers more to get into the Manhattan Business District. And Mayor de Blasio, as you may know, is for an income tax hike on the top 1% of New York City earners. Maybe appropriately, Sal called us from the 59th Street Bridge. Hi, Sal. You're on WNYC.
Hello, Mr. Brian, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just have a quick question. How would congestion pricing address the issue of jurisdiction? I know that certain bridges fall under the city's jurisdiction, and while other ones, like the tribal, are under MTAs. And how would that plan sort of address that issue of the revenue streams?
Okay. Alex, that's a detail of the bureaucracy that a lot of people probably don't think of. Some of the bridges within the city are MTA controlled, others are city controlled. Does that matter here?
Well, sure, it does. Yeah, I mean, both the four East River bridges and, of course, 60th Street are city facilities, city property. So the city would have to be a full-fledged partner on this in terms of installing the systems to collect the tolls. So that is the answer. The city would have to be involved. If I could just also say address something that Will mentioned before, though, which is he said rightly that we really don't have a clear idea of where the governor is going with his congestion pricing plan. But I think we do have reasons to believe that he is taking a serious look at the Move New York plan. In that New York Times article, there was an acknowledgement of it's time for folks to kind of shift their thinking on this and to consider tolls, et cetera. So I don't think that I think the jury is still out as to whether tolls are being considered or not. I understand that the rumor that went around that Will referred to, but I think it's anybody's guess yet, and I think it's our job, of course, as a movement and a coalition to persuade the governor and persuade the legislature that this is the best way to go. And I'll just say that contrary to what Will said, though, is that if the governor decides that some kind of tolling plan like this is what he's going to go after, he does have, obviously, a lot of political sway. And if he were to put his shoulder into it, a la minimum wage, marriage equality, gun control, et cetera, he's capable of getting a lot of very good things done. So, again, these are all questions that are still to be answered, but I wouldn't handicap our chances quite as much as Will would.
With us are Alex Matheson, who is just speaking, director of the Move New York campaign, which advocates a congestion pricing plan, and Will Bredermann, contributing politics writer for Cranes, who's covering this. Will in Tuxedo, New York. You're on WNYC. Hello, Will.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for picking up. I'm a working guy in the suburbs. I think the MTA is a regional asset and should have a regional tax. A commuter tax would be ideal. But my main concern with these plans is, as a working guy in a truck coming across every day into the city with all the hassles that entails and tickets and so forth, if you get a commercial license plate, it should be exempt from the tax because it's the lifeblood of the working people in the city.
Where are you on that, Alex, as the congestion pricing guy?
I'd love to respond to that question. So we agree with him. Commercial vehicles are one of the few vehicles that you can actually justify making regular trips into the central business district because they have to you know, do carpentry or you know, plumbing service, you know, the trades, or to make deliveries, dry cleaning packages, et cetera.
Yeah.
They need their vehicles. That's why we put a cap of only one toll per day each way on all commercial vehicles to make sure that businesses, particularly small businesses, can get in and out of the central business district without being dinged. And the upside for your caller is that by having a reduction of traffic by as much as 20%, or vehicle speeds would increase by as much as 20% as a result of this plan, he's going to be able to get around and make more deliveries or make more service calls than he would have otherwise.
You good with this, Will?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. That just needs to be addressed somehow.
Thank you very much for your call. And so from caller Will to Will Bretterman from Cranes, here's a tweet from a listener, a supporter of congestion pricing, who writes, oh, and I'm going to lose it because my tweets are going by too fast here. Brian Lehrer should clarify that de Blasio's millionaire's tax raises just $750 million a year, whereas Move New York is projected to raise $1.5 billion per year net, twice as much. Will, has Cranes crunched the numbers?
We have not. I've seen both estimates, and there's, of course, always a question of whether, you know, when you put money into the MTA, what do you get out of it, you know? That's simply unresolved. I mean, how much would it end up being allocated for debt service? How much would actually go toward immediate capital improvements? How much would go toward pensions? It's always sort of a...
But that's true with whatever the funding stream is.
Whatever the funding stream is,
right?
And I don't mean to sort of... If I'm conveying that I think the mayor's plan has any better chances, you're reading me completely wrong. I think these are not... Neither of these, as of yet, are actually serious policy proposals. They're both political proposals used by the two sparring politicians at this point.
Alex, as a proponent of congestion pricing, will you take a both and public stand right now and say, yes, it's progressive and fair and right to raise taxes a little bit on the top 1% of earners in New York to fund mass transit, and congestion pricing is a good idea?
Well, I mean, I would say this, that, you know, if you talk to Tom Prendergast, the former chair of the MTA, and many other transit experts, they say you have to invest 1% 3% of the total value of the asset, which is $1 trillion in the case of the MTA's transit system, every year towards maintaining and improving the system. So that's $30 billion a year. We only spend $30 billion every 5 years, so it's about a fifth of what we should be spending. So the bottom line is we absolutely need as much revenue as possible. As to the millionaire's tax, you know, I'm a good progressive. I'm not opposed to that idea of those who can most afford to pay a little bit more do so. My problem with the millionaire's tax is, one, I think it's been declared by a number of pretty credible sources to be dead on arrival in Albany. So I'm curious by, you know, about the mayor's assessment there on the politics. But the other thing is I just think that there's so many important needs in the city of New York, from, you know, housing, public housing, homelessness, education, that don't necessarily have built-in revenue streams like something like transportation does, you know, unused, untapped, important revenue streams to create equity. So if there's going to be a millionaire's tax, I would think that there are a lot of other more appropriate uses for it. But, you know, to answer your question, as many revenue sources as we can get is what the system needs.
Well, we usually don't take calls from people driving because we think, even if you can call home and say, honey, do you want me to pick up some milk while you're driving a motor vehicle? It probably takes a little too much concentration to talk on the radio on a talk show. But because of the topic, we made an exception for somebody driving on the 59th Street Bridge, which means it's only fair now that we make an exception for Jamelia on the Garden State Parkway. Jamelia, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Mike, I'm just concerned about where will this new surge leave lower-income earners. Is there going to be also a proposed increase for people who are at the bottom of the income ladder? For example, I've been earning $15 per hour from 2014, and sadly, things like these just tend to increase, and there's no place for low-income earners in the country anymore.
Thank you for raising that. And, you know, if I got my history right, Alex, objections to the idea of tolling to get into the Manhattan Business District go all the way back at least to Mayor Dinkins, who was concerned about it for exactly the reason that Jamelia raises. There are a lot of people who are lower income New Yorkers, working class New Yorkers, but who have to drive their cars for one reason or another, and they're the ones who are going to be most disproportionately affected.
Well, first, I would just say a couple of things, and I am very sensitive to that concern. But I'd say a couple of things. First of all, this plan, and then that exists in the legislation that's been proposed in Albany, would have variable tolling, which means it would be higher during peak rush hour, but lower during the shoulder periods during the middle of the day, evening, weekends, etc. So for those who have some flexibility in their commute times, and not everybody does, there's ways to save a considerable amount of money. Second, I would say that as a group, drivers, and your caller may be an exception, and we are sensitive to that, but as a group, drivers are significantly more wealthy than your transit riders. And in our New York metropolitan area, about 80% of us rely not on cars, but on transit, mass transit to get around, including the vast majority of low-income families. So if you're really concerned about low-income families, and I know there are exceptions, but if you're really concerned about low-income families, it's about investing in the transit system that is that they rely on to get around. And so not only do we do that, not only do we raise a lot of money for the MTA to get the system back into a state of good repair so it becomes a reliable system, but we also have money set aside to subsidize some of the fare discount programs that would be directly targeted at low-income transit riders. And then finally, I'd say also...
Well, let me jump in on that point, because I wonder if there's anything in congestion pricing that could be a version of a sliding scale by income for drivers. We know that Mayor de Blasio's proposal for the income tax hike for transit, a lot of the money would go to the MTA for operating and or capital. I forget one of those, but some of the money would go to subsidize cut-rate Metro cards for lower-income New Yorkers. How about cut-rate congestion pricing for lower-income people like Jamelia on the Garden State Parkway making $15 an hour?
Well, let me say, Brian, it's funny you mention it, because when I first started this thing, even before I teamed up with legendary traffic engineer Sam Schwartz in 2012, we actually had a discounted toll included in our inferior version of congestion pricing back then. And oddly, we didn't get a great reception from some of the legislators in Albany for it. But, you know, at some point, if this gets serious, they're going to take over this process and they're going to finalize these bills and this legislation. So if that's something that is popular and people want to consider, then by all means, that should be done. I do want to make one quick additional thing, though. If your caller lives in New Jersey, her tolls would not be affected by this at all. In other words, this does not affect the Port Authority crossings, the two tunnels coming across the Hudson River. And the other thing I was going to say just quickly is don't forget about those drivers who are being murdered by toll rates of $17 in the outer parts of the city where average incomes are lower. So those folks are getting killed by exorbitant tolls, and they're basically subsidizing the system so that a relatively small but significant number of drivers can drive over these bridges every single day for free, even though everybody else's tolls and fares are going up every 2 years by 4%. There's just an inherent inequity in the lopsided system that we've got today.
We're going to run out of time in a minute, but Will from Cranes, you said earlier we should see this less as a battle of two policy proposals than a battle of two politicians, Cuomo and de Blasio, who are always trying to one up each other or defend against each other or however you want to characterize it. What does Cuomo, who you said, in the context of this, he's going to be running for re-election next year as de Blasio is running this year. Why is congestion pricing seen as a political winner for the governor for his re-election campaign, if you think it is, if everybody but people in Manhattan start out a little skeptical?
I think that the governor, for instance, I think, for example, he got a very nice editorial written about him in the New York Times. It plays well. Congestion pricing, I think the mass support, yes, it probably polls well, but in terms of the political energy of the moment, is more towards something what de Blasio is proposing, like a tax on the rich. It takes kind of some of the wind out of that proposal, because this is a sort of, the congestion pricing is sort of a classic sort of, you know, a transit wonk and good government sort of policy that's been floated out there many times. So it deflects what de Blasio is pushing. It puts de Blasio back in the defensive. Suddenly de Blasio has to answer questions about why he doesn't support congestion pricing. De Blasio is back to getting the negative editorials about him. It effectively changes the conversation and deflects the conversation away from this millionaire's tax, which is also politically unfeasible, but is hugely popular among Democrats and, you know, has some support even among Republican voters, if not Republican politicians. And it effectively, is designed to de-energize and what de Blasio has put forward.
Brian, if I could say, too, though, you know, keep in mind that the congestion pricing proposal, Move New York, has very strong support from editorial boards from left to right. Fox 5 News has endorsed us. New York Post has endorsed us. Staten Island Advance has endorsed us. Newsday out of Long Island has endorsed us. Poughkeepsie Journal has endorsed us. New York Times, of course, and the Daily News and Cranes has endorsed us. So there's really support on this thing from left to right. And the other thing I want to just remind folks is that under the Bloomberg plan, Manhattanites really honestly didn't pay their fair share. I think they ranked third or fourth in terms of which borough contributed most into the pot of money raised. Under the Move New York plan, because we put a surcharge on four hire vehicles just within a taxi zone, basically Manhattan south of 96th Street, that puts Manhattan to the number one spot in terms of which borough is paying the most, and that's as it should be. It's the wealthiest borough, and of course we get the greatest traffic reduction benefits. And as far as the governor's political calculation here, again to be determined, but if New York was to adopt congestion pricing, it'll be the first nation, the first city in the nation to do it, and that's not a small thing. Boston is looking at it, Chicago, Atlanta needs to look at it, San Francisco, Portland, et cetera, Los Angeles. All these other cities are taking a serious look at it, and they're looking to New York to see what we do. So this is a chance for the governor on a national stage to be a real innovator.
Alex Matheson, director of Move New York, which has a plan for and is a proponent of congestion pricing, and Will Bretterman, contributing politics writer for Cranes, covering the topic. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.